We welcome back to the program a great friend of the show, beginning his 11th season as the voice of the New England Patriots on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network, Bob Soucy joins us. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Rich. How are you?
I'm great. But 11 years? How did that happen so fast?
How did the last 4 or 5 decades happen so fast, Rich, if you know what I mean?
Oh, I know. I feel it every morning.
Myself or you, which I've done, but it's amazing. It really is hard to believe that it's been 11 years. It seems like you and I were talking in year number one for the first time just the other day. And here we are now 11 years in.
Well, we'll talk about the season ahead, but I want to get to the really important stuff first. And what a cool thing you did recently, taking your youngins to see the Boston concert.
Yeah, this was a concert number 2 for my son and I, seeing Bruce Springsteen, and number 1 for my daughter. I'm lucky enough to have a connection through music with my kids. We don't enjoy that with sports. Neither of my children are real big sports fans. I mean, they like what dad does, and they appreciate it. They appreciate what it allows them to do. But my son is 13, and he has an old soul, Rich. He's a classic rocker. So he and I have really connected over the last year or so through music. And it's been great for me because I was not a concert goer when I was his age or when I was 10 years older or 20 years older. But I've become so the last couple of years. And we had a great time, great concert at Gillette Stadium. I marvel at Bruce Springsteen, 73 years old, the band. I've always been a fan of the music, but I'm really a latecomer to going to see them. While I associate with a lot of people who've seen him, 10, 15, 20 times even. For me, this was concert number 2. And it was just a great night. And we had a wonderful experience. And my daughter, who's not a rocker necessarily, I think she came away having a greater appreciation for it. Just the art of performance as well.
That's fantastic. All right. Well, let's talk about the Patriots now. We're a little more than a week away from the start of the season. This was, of course, cut down week. You had a wonderful piece at 98.5, thesportshub.com, talking about the fact that for a whole lot of guys, what is it, some 1,200 guys who got released on cut down day, and their dream is at the very least deferred, and it's important not to forget about that.
Well, I think it's easy, in this day and age especially, because of fantasy leagues, because of the emphasis on numbers. I think especially in a marketplace where you're accustomed to championships or bust kind of thinking, I think it's easy to dismiss the personal stories. And it's not to say that, every professional player, every potential Patriot or potential NFL player is the kind of story that completely engages you and someone that you totally root for. I mean, we've all come across, whether reading or in our experiences, the number of players, and not necessarily here in great numbers, but I've been in sports for a long, long time. And, there are just some that you enjoy being around and talking to, and you really appreciate their stories all the more. But everybody does have a story. And I think it is important to remember that. And the economics, I think, often change the way we look at professional athletes as well. But the bottom line is, on Tuesday afternoon, as you alluded to, NFL rosters went from 90 players to 53. And for 16 players who were cut among all those players who were let go by their teams, roughly 1,200, they wound up on practice squads, but the rest did not. And so they have to search for jobs. They have to soul search. Some will continue their football careers, maybe even in the NFL. Some will continue their careers in Canada or in one of the spring leagues or maybe even indoor leagues. And some have just seen, maybe their last shot come to pass. And so it was just kind of my perspective on that. But also it was taking from Bill Belichick. He asked why on Sunday he informed 11 players out of the number of players that were going to be let go by the Patriots, because they were just below 90. I can't remember exactly the number by Sunday, why he let them go a couple of days early. And he talked about the transactional part of it. Rich, these guys are represented by agents. Teams have relationships with agents, not only those clients, but hopefully future clients. So they want to do them a solid, give them a head start for looking for that next job. That's one thing. Two, the number of players, I think Belichick mentioned, you've got 37 players you've got to cut down, and you only have 60 hours or so to get to them. And really, when you think about it, you probably only have a couple of hours in that 60-hour window to really sit down and talk to all those players. So he thought that he owed it to them not to be dismissive of them, to at least give them a chance to get out, knock on doors early, but also to have an opportunity to talk to them and not just say, hey, you know, here's the list, goodbye, and collect their playbooks. And so I really appreciated those words. And, we heard from some of the players at the Patriots locker room, and it was interesting because it is a day of dreams fulfilled for players who make the team. But there was also, you know, that sense, and it was heavy in the air, that really this was a dream not for them to celebrate, but, you know, hey, to be mindful, hey, we're lucky. We're lucky we're here, because a lot of guys just had their dream, as you mentioned, deferred, if not denied altogether.
We're talking with Bob Soucy here on Downtown. Well, what made headlines here in Patriots Nation on Tuesday was the fact that every quarterback not named Mac Jones was cut, but it seems now that Bill Belichick and others felt fairly certain they could get both Cunningham and Zappe back and sign them to the practice squad.
Well, they had to, or they were willing to take that chance, you know, and then they generally have pretty good intel because they're obviously you're exposing them to waivers. And with Bailey Zappe, it was a very difficult summer for him in practices and in the preseason games, and certainly rather telling of his struggles, you know, how much he played on Friday night at Tennessee in the preseason finale, the fact that he came off the field at the end of his last series in the first half, and Trace McSorley took over, and then Bailey went back out there to start the second half and went the distance in that game. You think about someone like that, 2-0 as a starter, second year quarterback, fourth round draft pick. You know, that's not the kind of guy you typically expose on the waiver wire. But interestingly, the Carolina Panthers let their third pick, a third round quarterback, go recently. Now, they have got a new coaching staff, which helps to explain some of it. And the Patriots just claimed, it's been reported by Ian Rappaport, just claimed Matt Corral, a former Mississippi quarterback. And that means they put him on the roster. So they got Zappe and Cunningham to the practice squad and now have claimed Matt Corral, who for now is the backup quarterback. I think the interesting thing for me, Rich, too, just to quickly add, from Bailey's perspective, you know, struggling as he did in this offense, and you could see the challenges for him. And he's talked a little bit about experimenting with arm angles at his height. I mean, he's a big guy compared to me, but he's a short guy compared to other NFL quarterbacks. And I wondered, after being waived, if he might really just seek an opportunity, even if it was a practice squad opportunity, in a different system, in a different place, one that might be more suited to, you know, his stature in his skill set, more bootlegs, rolling out, off play action. But he chose to come back despite Tom Pelissero from NFL Network reporting that at least seven teams were interested in him. And I thought that also said a little bit about him as well. He's a good kid. You know, I'd love to see him do well, whether it's another opportunity here in New England or elsewhere. And it's going to be interesting now, as I mentioned, with those transactions, Zappe, Cunningham, but also Corral, which is just being reported.
Bob, as you look at the offense going into the new season, who do you think is the most important addition to the offensive unit?
Whoever they find to play right tackle.
Auditions are still open, yes.
Yeah. You know, the fascinating part of this whole process, and it's troubling, I know, for a lot of Patriots fans and people who talk about the team, is the fact that they had 11 offensive linemen on that initial roster, and they had just acquired two of them within the last 24 to 48 hours. Not to be glib, but I do think that, you know, that's really what it boils down to. Now, among the players they've brought in via free agency, Juju Smith-Schuster is an important player, obviously. The health of his knee is going to be something that will be closely watched. He's got to give them yards after the catch from that slot receiver position primarily. And Ezekiel Elliott, someone who can provide Ramondre Stevenson a blow, but I also think, and this is really where the offense has to take a big jump this year, in the red zone, he's someone who, even with career-low rushing numbers last year for the Cowboys, still had a dozen touchdowns. The Patriots need to be better in the red zone. They're the worst red zone offense last year. And I think part of that was the fact that they really had overworked Ramondre Stevenson by the time the last quarter of the season got here. And I think Elliott's going to help in that respect, offering some relief. But also, if he's out there healthy for this team, he's going to help them punch the ball. And he can also catch the ball out of the backfield as well. So I think that's a nice 1-2 punch in the backfield.
How important is it to for Mac Jones and everybody in the offense to have Bill O'Brien back?
That I don't think can be overstated at this point. And part of the reasoning is because of the struggles last year. And I think for Mac Jones, it's been a world of difference. He's been far more relaxed from day one. The confidence has been growing, and you can see that and you hear about it from players. I think, you know, there's a lot of confidence in those offensive players. Bill O'Brien has a system that's proven. It's a system that's continually evolving. He's come from the college ranks once again after 2 years at Alabama, and I think he's incorporating things from that experience that are going to help Mac Jones. Mac seems very comfortable with. So I look back at last year and the failings of the Patriots. You know, there were a number of areas. It wasn't just the offense and the decision that Bill Belichick made to appoint Matt Patricia and Joe Judge as essentially the engineers driving that train, but special teams and, you know, unforced mistakes, uncharacteristic mistakes compared to most of the Patriots teams, but the kind of mistakes they've been repeating a bit the last couple of years. I think they're going to be better in a lot of ways in special teams. It's going to hinge mainly on the kicker, now the rookie taking over for a reliable Nick Folk, but I think offense is going to be dramatically improved. And, you know, if they have an offensive line that provides Mac protection, and I think even without, you know, the stability right now, it is an improved offense. There's no doubt about that.
When you look at the defensive side, a couple of the newcomers look to make a pretty good impact. Both Christian Gonzalez and Keon White played well in preseason. Are the Patriots confident in their ability to come right out and take care of business?
Rich, that's a great question, and I think, you know, the answer is yes, but in Gonzalez's case in particular, he's really going to be challenged the first few weeks. He'll be challenged all year, of course, as every rookie is, but the first few weeks when you're talking about Philadelphia, A.J. Brown, you know, Devontae Smith, and then you have the Dolphins with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, and then you have the Jets with Garrett Wilson and Lazard and the people they've brought over to help Aaron Rodgers. You're dealing with that quarterback. You're dealing with quarterbacks that are mobile. Things can break down, and yet they're going to extend plays and force you to cover longer. So when I look at Gonzalez, right from the gate, he's going to be in the heat. But he's someone who's got, I think, a real fluidity about the way he plays, and it seems like with his personality, it kind of matches, you know, how easily he moves on the field. And you know, he's got to have a short-term memory. He's going to make mistakes. I would imagine the Patriots, you know, aren't going to put him on an island and man coverage against any of those guys that I've mentioned early on. But it's going to be a real challenge for him, and he's going to make mistakes, and how he responds to those will be key. And Keon White was a beast early on in training camp before he got hurt in the joint practices at Green Bay, and he's a young man who really is versatile, and you know, his teammates all say he's serious. And then I think the third-round pick, Marte Mapu, is a very talented and intriguing athlete. So there's early signs, and it's very, very early, obviously, that, you know, those kind of players can have an impact on this team defensively sooner rather than later.
And can the D-line get enough pressure on opposing quarterbacks this season?
I think the D-line is going to have to help the secondary, and I think they can get enough pressure on the opposing quarterbacks. Matt Judon is obviously coming off 2 very good years for the Patriots. He's been a consistent pass rusher for them. Josh Uche had a breakthrough year last year. I think White helps in that respect. Christian Barmore is healthy now for them, which gives them somebody who can create some issues inside. It's all complementary inside guys working with the outside guys, the scheming they do, the defensive line getting pressure on quarterbacks to aid the secondary in covering, the secondary in covering, aiding the defensive line and try to get to the quarterback. But I think if you look at the strong suits of the Patriots, it begins with defense, and particularly the front seven, and especially, you know, that defensive line, which I include outside linebackers, Judon and Uche in.
Who was the biggest surprise to you on the 53-man roster?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I think it's so funny because, Rich, I was taken by so many of the surprises not on the 53-man roster, like Bailey Zappe. I guess, you know, when I go back and kind of, you know, look at it now, I don't think that there's one player who's a surprise. I just think it's the number of offensive linemen. I think it's just the way the roster was constituted. Knowing also, too, it's a roster in flux. And Belichick made sure to point this out last week. Look, this is all part of player management. Sometimes you put a guy through waivers and get him to the practice squad because, you know, there's a good chance he's not going to be claimed. But you want to keep him on. You want to eventually get him back on your 53-man roster because that's a player you want to work with during the course of the year who you think can help you. Maybe not today, but somewhere down the road. And so there, I guess I could go through those offensive linemen and you know, find a bunch of names that are surprises that are even here. But considering the state of the team in that particular position group, it's not surprising that they went overboard with offensive linemen and that they're going to obviously cut that down by the time they play the first game against the Philadelphia Eagles. But there were names that I was surprised that weren't on it, and Zappe is certainly at the head of that list, but he's not the only one.
Bob Soucy, the voice of the New England Patriots. They get underway a week from Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles. Bob, it's great to talk with you, as always. We look forward to listening to you and Zoe all season long on the broadcast. I've told you before, few things I enjoy more on a beautiful fall afternoon here in New England than sitting on my front porch with a Maine craft beer and listening to you on the broadcast.
Oh, I really appreciate that, Rich. I want to just quickly share one thing to end the way we began. We talked about the Bruce Springsteen and Maine beer. There's a lot of great breweries all over New England, obviously. There's a lot of great breweries in the state. But I wanted to mention this. I was at the concert, as you noted, and I took my kids with a friend. And my friend, I got my kids their food at the concession stand. A good friend of ours was there as well. And he went to the beer stand. And he came back with a cup of beer in his hand. And he said, do you want me to get you beer? And seeing that I had my hands full. And I said, I would love one. I said, what are you drinking? And he said, Abyssal Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I would love one of those. And some fan was walking past. And he said, did you say Abyssal Brothers? Or it's not Bissell Brothers. Forgive me if I mispronounced. So, you know. Maine beer, very much not only on my mind and eventually, you know, to my lips that night, but on a passerby at Gillette Stadium. So, you know, the way was shown.
Oh, no, it is Bissell Brothers, and man, they're great. And I know they've got a lot of, I mean, we were just talking. We had our Maine craft beer segment earlier in the show and just talking about the fact that there are so many great Maine craft breweries that all make so many different and wonderful beers.
There really are, you know, in across New England, but particularly the state of Maine. I'm looking forward to getting back up that way before too long, and looking forward as well, speaking of beverages, to you know, see your travels with the Black Bears in search of the best cup of coffee in college football. And you know, wishing you all the best, wishing the Black Bears all the best, and hope you have a great school year too.
Thank you, Bob. And always. Is Obi know? Can he sense that Dad is going to be on the road soon?
Obi doesn't care whether Dad's on the road. He only cares if Mom's on the
road. Uh-huh. I understand that. Well, Bob, we thank you. Great to talk with you, as always. Hope you have a wonderful season, and we look forward to talking with you throughout the year. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rich. Take care.
That's Bob Soucy, voice of the New England Patriots, with us on Dan Tent.